I was the reason he chose to die. I was the one who pierced his side. I was the one who mocked his precious name. When I finally called on him, he then saved me from my sin. So undeserving, he did it all just for me.
For Calvary, right? We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 22 in your Bibles, please, if you turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And as you find that, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, the Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our church today, this place we can gather together to praise your name, to lift you up, to tell that Jesus Christ is the only one that will forgive sins and the only way to heaven. We pray for your blessings on this service today, but Lord, we are also thankful for your many blessings. Thank you for being so good to us. Please be with our pastor today as he preaches. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, check your cell phone. I thought I heard one beep a minute ago. Listen carefully. That is the only time it will go off and your heart will not stop. And so make sure you have it turned off. We really don't want to have to do CPR on anybody And it's kind of like one of those deals, if it, your heart stops in church here, you're going to heaven, because we're not going to. Anyway, just turn your cell phone off, would you please? Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 22, please listen. David is hiding in the caves of Adullam. We were there when we were in the Middle East, when we went to Jerusalem. These caves are cut out of the face of a sheer cliff. And many of them are 200 feet or more high with no steps to get to them. They must have had to let themselves down by ropes to get into those caves. And I stood there looking at those caves, and I thought, the caves of Adullam. I was thinking, you know, here, there, that sort. They were all in this huge cliffs, caves cut back into the side of that cliff. And I thought, how in the world did they even get into those things? Much like, they had to let themselves down by ropes. David is running from Saul. David is the anointed king of Israel. He was anointed as king of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But it's not time yet. And the current administration, as far as kings in Israel go, don't want anything to do with David. In fact, it's Saul, and he's after David. He's hiding from him. David is hiding from Saul. He realizes he's going to have to go just sequester himself, hide out somewhere. When it's heard, as it says in verse number 1 in your text this morning, it's when it's heard that he was going to have to hide himself, his family came to him. But I want you to look at verse number 2. I want you to see the three D's that are mentioned here, the alliteration of the word of God. And then, not only does his family come to hide with him in the caves, it says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. David was not approved in society, so he's having to hide himself. Some people who seem like malcontents in verse number 2. Let's see, who are these guys again? They were in distress, debt, and discontented. The Bible said they gathered themselves unto him. Now listen, he's living in a cave and 400 guys show up and say, we don't have anywhere to go but you. And he takes them in. Now if you think about it for a moment, that it looks like, why would they want to join themselves to a guy who has to hide himself because he is not approved in society? I was reading that one day and I thought to myself, but wait a minute, we know how this account of the Bible turns out, because David does take the throne. And those 400 men, they'll become leaders in his army. And at the moment, when they come to him, it looks like just some disconnected, unhappy people who want to mooch off of David. That's not the case. They're saying, you know what? We're in distress, we're in debt, and we're discontented with what's going on in our society. Can we go to you, sir? And he takes them in. And I was reading it and I thought, oh, we have a king who's not approved by society. And he's not hiding himself. But if Jesus ran for mayor of the city of Reading, he couldn't get elected, I don't think. And then there are these group of people who are in distress, in debt, and dissatisfied with what's going on, and they go to their king. Well, as I was reading it, I thought to myself, well, that's where the three D's, distress, debt, and what is it again now? Discontented. But when we come to our captain, he takes us in and we become a part of his army. Is that you this morning? Understand what distress in the Bible means. Hold your place here. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe this is a kind of a picture of where we are today in our lives, in our world in which we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to come back to 1 Samuel 22, so hold your spot there, please. Distress doesn't mean no hope. It means they realized they were in a minority. Their king didn't want them. Their king, Saul, he didn't want them around if they were going to have anything to do with David. He didn't want anything to do with them. So they said, you know what? We're in a minority here. So they said, I guess our only chance is to go to the king. We're going to go to David. So they go to him. And then here's thousands of years later, here's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Would you look at that, please? In his life and ministry, he says this about their lives. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He said, yeah, we're beset upon in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, we even got to a place where we thought living wasn't worth it. Look at me, people. We are a distressed people, a minority. We are not a depressed people. Depending on your spirit and your attitude, we're not a depressed people. We are a distressed people. Yeah, we're in a minority. That's right. There's more of them than there is of us right now. It's kind of how it is in society, isn't it? But guess what? It's always been that way. Listen to me. How many people were in the ark and how many people were outside of the ark? Think about it for a moment. God's people have always been in a minority number in any society in which they have ever lived. Now, we can either complain about that and do as many have done today as Christians, decide they're going to join the majority instead of stay faithful to the minority of God's people. But our answer isn't to stand around and go, oh man, I'm telling you, they got us outnumbered. You know, the truth of the matter is that's not how it works. They have us outnumbered, but they don't have the big number that they need. They don't have the God of heaven on their side in what they're doing. Listen to me, they can boast, they can brag, they can pass laws, they can shove stuff in our faces, and they can throw society into the garbage pit of cesspool of carnality. But we're not going to jump in with them now, are we? Huh? We may be distressed and in a minority, but we still have the king. We have the real king. And that's important for you to remember something now. It's going to get, and by the way, the numbers are going to, the ratio is going to get less, greater and greater. There's going to be more of them than more of us. It's just how it works. It's going to get that way. And I'm sorry if you don't like that. You have two options this morning. You can option to join the majority and roll over and play dead and let them scratch your belly and give you their approval if you want to. Or you can decide, you know what, if my Lord is like in a cave of adullam in society, and the real Jesus has never been popular, and he's not popular now, most definitely. And if the real Jesus is not okay with you and you want to join that crowd, then you go ahead. You go ahead and enjoy the sunshine of man's approval, enjoy the sunshine of a woke society. But if God's people got any sense, they're going to realize something. We are distressed. We are in a minority, but we still have a king. His name is Jesus, and we're going to stay faithful to him. And when they went to him in 1 Corinthians, 1 Samuel chapter 22, when they went to him, the Bible said, they gathered together unto him. He received them, and they became a part. Where did he put 400 people? I should have showed you the picture. There wasn't enough room in those caves for 400 people. There weren't that many caves, unless those things were super deep. And then I'm standing there looking at him and thinking, is this account in the scripture? And I'm looking at it thinking, how in the world did they get in there? And then number two, how do you live in that thing? How do you get food in there? How do you get water into those caves? Just the sheer existence of living in a place like that. I thought to myself, how did they do this? How long was David in the cave of Adullam? I don't know. He was there more than once in his life and ministry. And the truth of the matter is that's where people would go to hide out because they weren't accepted where they were. Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? If that's the way Jesus is treated in society, I'll take Jesus. You listening to me? I'll take Jesus. If he's not popular, I'll take Jesus. If his word is not popular, I'll take Jesus. They gathered themselves together unto him. He received them. They became a part of his army. And I'll say it a few more times before it's over. You listen to me. And when it's over and said and done, David is on the throne. Those men are a part of his army, and they're on the winning side. I got news for you. Jesus will one day rule and reign from this earth. And Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Jesus will be the Supreme One. Better go ahead and get on the winning side now, not on the losing side as it looks to some, but the winning side. I'll take Jesus. Then it says there were people there who were in debt. You mean they owed money? It means they owed somebody. I don't think it was about their finances. I think it was about they felt that they had an indebtedness to David and to what was given them as Israelites, and they live with that kind of debt in mind. See, debt is either a burden or it's a challenge. We look at what we're doing in our society today. All they do is just raise the debt ceiling. They just keep raising it. Like somehow or another, they always push it to the last minute. We're all going to fall apart. Everything's going to go to pieces. And then they push the debt ceiling, and all they're doing is bankrupting our great-grandchildren. They just keep pushing it down the road. You cannot keep doing that. Somebody, well, they're not going to do it. Anyway, irrespective of that, that distresses me. But when I have a debt, something that I owe, it's either a burden or a challenge to me. So I, in my office, in my study, in my office, since we started the church from scratch, we had no building or anything like that. I had to build an office in my garage. Well, that was 40 years ago. And we've had church buildings since that 40-year period of time. And I have an office now. It's a nice office. You want to go look at it? Just go help yourself. It's a nice office. It looks like a religious pastor's office. I cannot study in that room in there. I got to have an office in the garage. I still do. That's where I was this morning, bright and early. And it looks like a terrorist hit it. A guy with a neat office is a sick puppy. As far as I'm concerned, there's something seriously wrong with you. Now, a working office now, an office that's for show, that's a show office. See, like this. This is a show handkerchief. See that? I'm going to blow my nose on that bub right there. See this? This is a blow handkerchief. I got one of those bubs. All right. That's a show. This is a blow. Okay, anyway. So I'm in my office getting some work done and talking to God and trying to get ready for my day. In my office where I study, I have pictures of my people over in front of my desk. My wife's parents, my grandparents, people who have invested so much in my life. Because every day I sit there, I look at those pictures, and I remind myself, I owe them a debt. They've invested in me. Look at me. It matters what people have done before you. See, these people that were in debt, they just came to David and said, you know what? We have a nation because of you. So we're here. They didn't come and say, pay our bills for us. That wasn't what they were saying. They were saying, we are debtors. Apostle Paul said that in Romans chapter 1. He was a debtor. There's something about realizing you owe somebody. You know the old song, I owe, so off to work I go. Well, that's financial stuff. How about just the fact that I owe somebody for something? And you know who we owe the most? We know who we owe the greatest. We know who is the one that we are indebted to for the rest of eternity and will never be able to repay that debt, and that's the King Jesus. If you're a child of God this morning, you owe him a debt. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's a debt, but it's not a burden. That's a challenge to me. That means my life is not mine to live. My life is not my own. I belong to him. He purchased me. He redeemed me. He gave me salvation I could have never paid for. He went to the cross to purchase my gift of eternal life, then offered it to me freely by the grace of God. And in a moment of repentance and faith, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and he gave me eternal life. And it's, you know what? It's eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's not life until. It's life on forever. It's eternal life. For the other three people who are saved, thank you for saying amen. I appreciate that. See, well, I know all that kind of stuff, Pastor Johnson. No, don't know it. Live with the reality that we are challenged by the debt we owe Jesus Christ. We live in a society today where everything wants to be free for everybody and everything else, and it's killing us. It's destroying us as a nation, as a people, worse than economically. What's destroying our nation is we're creating entire generations of people who feel that everybody owes them something. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely, we have an entitled society today. Everybody should get everything they should get everything they want because everybody else should have to pay for it. It's ridiculous. Then on the other hand, we take the American flag with red stripes in it because somebody didn't come home and gave their lives for our freedoms. And we use something like this as a piece of cloth instead of a symbol of the fact that we owe somebody something. Then we get our lives, ladies and gentlemen, and we have our salvation as a child of God, and we get to the place where we have oh-so salvation. You know, just kind of so-so salvation. Instead, it's so great salvation. Yeah, we're dead, his friend. And if Jesus is not popular, and if salvation by grace through faith, that you, the only people going to heaven are a person that's child of God, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If that's the way it is, and that's the way it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Hebrew or Muslim or atheist. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're Baptist either, by the way. You got to get born again or you're not going to go to heaven. If that's not popular in society, I'll take Jesus. I'll take salvation through the grace of God. I'll take what God has presented to me. I'm a debtor to my Lord for my salvation. And I am a debtor to those who gave me a life to stand on and to live by. Well, that's us. We're in debt. Does it burden you? Well, now you make me feel guilty, Pastor. Don't feel guilty. First of all, who cares about your feelings anyway? I haven't said that in about a week. I've had it right up to here with people and all their feelings. You say, well, don't you care if people feel bad? Well, of course I do. I don't want you to feel bad. But the truth of the matter is that our life? It's just about how my feelings are, what I feel. What was it yesterday? We were having lunch, my wife and I, and the waitress, young lady, we were ordering something. I forgot what we were ordering now. And she says, well, how do you feel about that? I'm hungry. How do I feel about it? You feel good about that? Feel good about, do you ever felt good about ranch dressing? I mean, it's good, but have you ever felt good about that? Ordering lunch, you have to be concerned about somebody's feelings. Well, if you feel good, who cares if you feel good about something? I know people who feel good about slaughtering people and eating their body parts. What is that all about, for goodness sake? Come on now, wait a minute. See, I'm a debtor to do something for somebody because somebody did something for me. That's what it's about. They're debtors. Oh, then look at 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. Then there were those among that crowd of 400 who were discontented. Discontented. Not disconnected, discontented. What does that mean? It means they were not happy with the circumstances and situations of their society and their life. Discontented. Well, okay, hey, look at me, church, look at me. Are you discontented with the way things are? Or are you okay with this stuff? You okay with June being Pride Month and them shoving that stuff down our throats? Are you okay with that? Huh? Shame on you, Cracker Barrel. Shame on you. Shame on you, Kohl's. Shame on you, Target. Shame on you, Walmart. Shame on you, every baseball team except the Texas Rangers. Shame on you. Shame on that. I'm not even a Texas Ranger. I'm not even a baseball fan. But the truth of the matter is, shame on this nation. Shame on this nation! That we are advocating, promoting a lifestyle that God dumped two fistfuls of hell on top of to get rid of. Shame on this nation. Are you okay with this? See, but to me, I'm discontented. I'm discontented with the fact that people live together, don't get married, and build a life. I don't understand that. We love you. We're glad you're here. You can come to this church. Homosexuals can come to this church. We've had lesbians come to this church. Homosexuals come to this church. Pimps, pushers. We have all kinds of people come here. Those doors are open. Everybody can come, be loved, cared for, and we're glad you're here. But if you think for 5 seconds we're going to change what the Bible says about that kind of stuff, you got the wrong joint, pal. That's not here. That goes okay out there, but not at Shasta Baptist Church. Not from this pulpit. No. No, 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 no. I'm discontinued. I'm disconnected. What is that word again? Say, you're ticked off. Okay, that's another word for it. I'm discontented. I am. Right here, just sticking me in my craw. And if you ain't an okie, you don't know what a craw is. It's that part of a chicken that people don't eat except okies. Okies eat the craw. But the truth of the matter is, that's right, I am discontented. I am living in a world that is not my home, and this world is not my home, bro. No, 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 no. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. No. No. I will not be rude. I will not be unkind. I'm not going to wear buffalo skin bloomers and go attack the Capitol. I'm not going to do it. I got it in today. Did you notice that one? How about that? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go around picking at people. I'm not going to. You say, well, you're being awful hateful, Pastor. This is called passion, people. I don't hate anybody. There's not one living, breathing soul I hate on this planet, and that is the God's truth. But you see, these people who told us their lifestyles were going to just be in the privacy of their own homes are now sending drag queens to libraries to teach children how to read. God has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't do something for us. Unbelievable. You got to be kidding me. No, I am disconnected. Now, what was that word again? What is the word, church? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. I'll remind me every now and then I'm getting old. I'm discontented. I am. I'm discontented with the fact that people are so obsessed with self, they don't pay any attention to anybody but themselves. They can't sit still in church and listen for a 25-minute message. They act in public like there's nobody on the planet but them. I'm discontented with the personal, selfish lifestyle. I'm discontented with the fact that though one day passes and I'm one day closer to heaven, I'm discontented with this life. So you don't have a good life, Pastor Johnson? I have a wonderful life. God has been so amazingly good to me. He has. He has blessed me in ways that are unimaginable to a kid who lived in a drunkard's home in this house, this town when I was a boy. I could have never thought back then. I think about it often. I could have never thought back then hiding under my bed from a drunk stepfather like to beat us. I could have never thought in that moment. I didn't even know God, and I prayed, and I said, God, please don't let him find me tonight. I could have never thought as a kid there hiding under that bed that I'd have the life I have today. He said, well, Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. You said you're discontented with this life. Yeah. Because it's still not where I know I'm going to spend the rest of forever. Getting more people on that side than this side. And my roots are shallow. My biggest hope isn't the next iPhone 28 or whatever it's going to be. My biggest hope isn't I don't wind up with a car I have to plug in the wall every night. My biggest hope isn't that I have to declare that my gas stove is now identifying as an electric stove so I can keep it. Really. It's just, I don't fit here anymore. I don't. So what are we going to do, Pastor Johnson? Here's what they did, and this is what you're supposed to do. And we'll finish this encouraging tome on a high note. They went to the king. They went to the real king. Hey, they went to the real king. I'm going to find out who really does not just believe in God, but who really does rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for who they are, what they are, and their help. We're going to find that out now in these days. Got all these people talk about Jesus, know about Jesus. Let's talk about this. Is he your king? Huh? There's another king on the throne, but is he your king? We got a king right now, I can't even say transgender. Yesterday he called them transgesters. That's close. But the truth is, that's that king. That's not my king. My king. And by the way, if it was a Republican, right-wing, conservative, he still wouldn't be my king. I still got a king. His name's Jesus. Are you listening to me? I said his name's Jesus. See, we got to get this right in our minds. We're going to go to the king. So when I am distressed in the minority, I'm in debt because I owe somebody, I'm disconnected. What is it again? Discontented. Just keeping you paying attention. It's a trick. No, it's not. I keep forgetting. The truth of the matter is I'm disconnected. I'm discontinued. I'm whatever that last one was. That's me right there. You know what I'm going to? Okay. The truth of the matter is that's me. I'm going to Jesus. Hey, Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still on the throne. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Jesus is coming to take me off this earth one day. Trump of God sounds dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I am lost a lick of hope, ladies and gentlemen. They went to the, they gathered themselves together unto him. He received them. And then those 400 men, look at me, those 400 men were in his army from that day until David died. That list of David's mighty men there in the Bible, guarantee you those guys are in that list. Because they knew when it was over and said and done, the real king was going to sit on the throne one day and everything's going to be all right. And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. As distressed, as debt-ridden, and as discontented as we are, Jesus is still on the throne. God still knows what's going on. And I'm okay. Are you okay? Okay, now watch me. Don't you give in to this junk out here. You hear me? Don't you do it. They're going to try to pass a law in California. Parents cannot raise their children the way they want to. That kid wants to trans, you have to let him go or they're going to put you in jail for it. Then go to jail, but they're not going to tell us how to raise our children. Are you with me? Now watch me. Listen to me carefully. And again, now listen to me. The fact of the matter is this. We are going to honor the king and his word and what he tells us. And if it's being in his army, that means we're on the opposite side of things, then too stinking bad. Then we're going to get on his side. We're going to stay on his side. That's how we're going to live our lives. That's what we're going to do. Because see, I don't stand before the governor one day. Thanks be unto God. He's going to the wrong place. I don't stand under the governor, nor the president, nor Congress, nor legislature. I stand in front of Jesus Christ, God one day, and give an account of myself to him. And I just soon him look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then look at me and say, well done, you coward. You chicken. You gave in, you gave up, and you roll over and let him scratch your belly like a little puppy dog. Uh-uh. That's not us. Yeah, we are. We're distressed, debt, and discontented. Thank you. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.